Good evening, everyone. I'm Lina Ahmoudou. Welcome to Health Chat. It is a progressive nervous system disorder that affects movement. Symptoms start gradually. Parkinson's disease, and that's what I am talking about, is the second most common age-related neurodegenerative disorder in the world after Alzheimer's. An estimated 7 to 10 million people worldwide have Parkinson's disease. Medical experts say men are 1.5 times more likely to have Parkinson's than women. We will discuss Parkinson's disease on the program today. And joining us via phone from Accra, Ghana, is Dr. Augustina Chawefeli. She's Secretary General of the African Academy of Neurology. Dr. Augustina, welcome to Health Chat.
Hello, everyone.
It's good to have you join us today. And also,
my pleasure, always.
Absolutely. And also joining us via phone from Accra is Gervais Kwadwo Jokoto. Mr. Jokoto is the founder of a Parkinson's disease support group in Ghana. Mr. Jokoto, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Let me start with you, Dr. Augustina. Parkinson's disease is one of those conditions that sometimes, and I hate to say this, but there are some people who believe like a condition like Parkinson's is a disease of the West. However, Parkinson's is very much a problem in Africa, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It makes no difference what part of the world you're in, what your economic status is. You are just as likely to develop Parkinson's disease no matter where you are. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how can we comprehend this condition? It's true that I mentioned it a little bit. It's a neurodegenerative disorder. But what does this mean, really?
So what it is and what we mean when we talk about neurodegeneration is that part of the brain, and depending on the disease, it's different parts, starts to wear away, die off before it's supposed to. It degenerates, stops working. So for Parkinson's disease, the main part that is involved, it's not the only part, but the main part that is involved is the part of the brain that produces the chemical dopamine. And we use dopamine to be able to fine-tune our movements. Dopamine is also used in our moods. So when that part of the brain starts to be affected, it doesn't produce enough dopamine, and we start to see the signs.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of sign, Mr. Jokoto, let me ask you this question. You have been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease several years back. Could you tell us about when you were diagnosed and what were some of the signs that were a telltale, that were telling you that something was not quite right?
I was diagnosed with the disease in 2003, the year 2003. And it started by the show of some spots in my right arm. And so I went to consult the doctor, and initially it was misdiagnosed, but it took about 3 years before they diagnosed the Parkinson's condition.
Mm. So you say initially you were misdiagnosed, is that, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what was the turning point that enabled the proper diagnosis? Did you change specialist, or was the condition getting to a point where it was unavoidable to diagnose it?
Well, I didn't change doctors. It was the same doctor who eventually diagnosed me for the Parkinson's condition. And it was a progressive condition.
Yeah.
And it took some time for the doctor to actually zero down on the condition.
Okay. So, Dr. Augustina, let me have your reaction to this. Is this something that is fairly common when it comes to diagnosing Parkinson's disease? Is it the kind of condition that can be tricky to diagnose?
It shouldn't be tricky to diagnose, but it is very true that unfortunately it gets very often misdiagnosed, especially in our part of the world. So you will hear a variety of stories from it's just normal aging and the individual is reassured and said, told you that nothing is wrong with you. Two, it's generalized osteoarthritis because of the pain that the individual starts to feel from the stiffness. And sometimes it's essential tremor. Most of the time, I get the feeling that sometimes the diagnosis is one that the doctor doesn't want to make by the very nature of the diagnosis. It's that it's incurable. So it's both the doctor doesn't want to tell the patient that they have an incurable condition, and they don't want to acknowledge that that is what they're seeing. And that is unfortunate because it's actually quite easy to recognize if you are keyed to looking for the signs.
And who is qualified to diagnose? Do all health professionals, including nursing, are all of them equipped to diagnose, or it takes a specialist?
Theoretically, this can be diagnosed by any primary health care provider. So even a nurse practitioner, again, it requires that the index of suspicion is there to be able to recognize the signs.
Okay.
But it's not difficult to diagnose, and it can be accurately diagnosed at the primary healthcare level.
Okay. And Mr. Jokoto, we are so grateful that you're taking the time to share your story with us. And this is really something that we believe is important to share. There are some people who really do not even know what Parkinson's is. So we appreciate your insight, your experience. Would you please talk to us about what happened when you were diagnosed? What happened next? What were you told? What did the doctors say to you, and how did it obviously it had to change your life, but what happened, what was the next thing that happened in your life?
Yeah, when I was diagnosed, I was told that this is an incurable condition that I have to live with, and I was put on medication that I had to follow religiously, and it was not very easy from the onset, but somewhere along the line I had to condition myself and look at it as something I have to face squarely rather than feeling pity for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that it was a situation that I could even use to help others.
Okay. So then, when it comes to treatment, what kind of, do you mind sharing with us, maybe not in specific details, but just to give us an idea of the type of treatment that you have to take?
Yeah, I was put on various kinds of medication, like Sinemet, like Lopinirole, and later on, for the condition, I was made to understand that physical exercise was a very good therapy, which I also did. I took very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that it went a long way to help me, because it's been 16 years since I started, and yet I think that I'm doing fine.
Okay. So, Dr. Augustina, when you listen to Mr. Jokoto's testimony and his personal experience, when it comes to the steps in addressing Parkinson's disease, is there a typical program that is prescribed, or does it depend on each patient and as well as the level or the level of the condition, whatever state they are in?
Yes. Lenore, if you'll allow me, I want to mention the first signs and symptoms that an individual may recognize in themselves.
Yes, please.
As part of Parkinson's disease. So the main features are tremor, that's the shaking of the hand most commonly, but sometimes it can be of the head, it can be of the lips, the lower jaw, it can be of the leg, but most commonly it's the hand. And it usually starts on one side, but you can find the features on both sides, left and right. The other features are stiffness, slowness, and changes in mood, changes in bowel habits. So even though we recognize a Parkinson's disease to be a movement disorder, so the main thing you notice is how movement changes with the disease. There are lots of other features to Parkinson's disease that sometimes make the individual quality of life much worse than just the movement alone. And that is depression, anxiety. More than half of the individuals with Parkinson's disease are prone to depression, and that also requires treatment. Constipation, difficulty swallowing, your voice changes, the way you write changes, you can have bladder problems. And because of the different constellation of symptoms the individual may have, each person's treatment is individual. But there tends to be a general way we treat it. So some of the medications that Mr. Jokato mentioned are levodopa combinations. So levodopa is a pre-chemical, so the chemical dopamine, that is not being produced in sufficient amounts in Parkinson's disease. So we have several different kinds of combinations of levodopa. It's combined with another chemical that stops the breakdown of the levodopa in the blood so that as much of it as possible can reach the brain. The unfortunate thing in our African sub-Saharan society is that the availability of these medications is patchy at best. There are few options. The different kinds of medications, the different formulations are sometimes extremely hard to get, if found at all. And then the other problem is that they are far more expensive on our continent than they are in Europe and North America and so on. So in general, Parkinson's disease is expensive to treat, but it's particularly financially a huge burden on our continent.
Wow. And so, how much of a problem is it in sub-Saharan Africa?
In terms of availability of medication?
In terms of people that are affected, first of all.
So no different than any other place. Your advancing age, anyone's advancing age, is a risk factor to developing any of the neurodegenerative diseases. Mm-hmm. So 1% of people above the age of 60 will have Parkinson's disease. Mm-hmm. So in sub-Saharan Africa, we have a rather young population. So the majority are under the age of 25. That said, our demographics are changing. So we have a more urban population, our life expectancy is increasing, so we will be getting more and more of these neurodegenerative diseases that were thought not to be here, mainly because our lifespan was not as long as it is in other continents.
And you talked about the symptoms, and it's so important to recognize the signs. At what point that should someone be concerned about Parkinson's disease and seek medical care? But because some of the symptoms can happen with other conditions as well. So when should someone be concerned?
That is absolutely right. So even though it is common knowledge that as we get older, we do slow down a little bit, that slight slowing down should not cause difficulty in activities of daily living. You should still remain fully independent in everything you do. You should be able to think clearly. If you find that your hand is shaking and it wasn't shaking before, seek medical attention. Rather be told that, oh, don't worry, there's nothing wrong, or hopefully correctly, that yes, there is nothing wrong, rather than assuming it's just normal. In general, shaking of your hand, especially if it's new, is never normal.
Mm-hmm.
So shaking of the hand, if you find that you have difficulty getting up from your chair, getting out of bed, walking, your walking has changed. So it's not so much the fact that you are perhaps slightly slower than you were before, but it is a marked change where you look at your other age mates
mm-hmm.
and you are moving, functioning differently from them. You
okay.
feel that you have pain more often than not. You feel stiff all the time. Seek medical attention.
Okay. And Mr. Jokoto, I wanted to talk about the support system that you have put together in Ghana, but we'll do that when we come back after the break. We have to take a short break for the news. When we come back, we'll have more of our discussion on Parkinson's disease. Don't go away. We'll be right back. But it's now time for the news with Bonsa Tufa.
Thank you, Lenore. The World Health Organization's Emergency Committee says the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo is not a global emergency. Experts decide that the ongoing outbreak in the North Kivu and Ituri provinces does not constitute a public health emergency of international concern. The WHO advises against any travel or trade restrictions. However, the Emergency Committee says they are concerned about the recent increase in transmission and the potential risk of the disease spreading to neighboring countries. WHO's Director Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus says the organization remains committed to addressing Ebola. The number of measles cases have nearly quadrupled globally in the first 3 months of the year. The WHO has called for better vaccination coverage against measles, which can kill or leave a child disabled for life. The United Nations agency says more than 112,000 cases of the disease have been reported between January and March. The U.S. has reported over 500 cases, the most in 5 years. The agency says the reported number of cases often lags behind the number of actual cases. This means the number of documented cases likely does not reflect the actual severity of the measles outbreak. And that's a wrap-up of your latest health news.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. Bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight we are discussing Parkinson's disease with our guests, Dr. Augustina Shawe-Feli, Secretary General of the African Academy of Neurology, and Mr. Jervis Kwadwo Jokoto, the founder of a Parkinson's disease support group in Ghana. And Mr. Jokoto, let me ask you this. You put together a support group for Parkinson's disease. First of all, what is people's attitude when it comes to this condition?
I realize that people are not very free to not touch an establishment because people would rather be upset about their condition than coming into the public to declare that that is what they have. But gradually we built up membership and people are getting to understand that this is a support group that gives education about the condition that we have and how to manage it and also to educate the caregivers and the family people to have some knowledge, awareness creation avenue, which are also taught to understand the condition their family loved one is in. And so we've been able to get people who are interested in knowing a little more about the condition that we have, and it's been a kind of a help, but it's very useful.
Okay. Thank you so much for you know, sharing this. Dr. Augustina, talk to us about some of the misconceptions around this condition.
So the biggest misconception is that it is just a movement disorder, and that's because what you see is the movement part of the problem. But as I mentioned earlier, there are a whole range of other symptoms that are not readily visible to the eye that still cause quite a bit of disability in the individual living with Parkinson's disease. Mm-hmm. It is also considered to be a disease of the elderly, and whilst it's true, the older you are, the more likely you are to develop Parkinson's disease, we do see it in people younger than 40, and in fact, there has been the youngest person diagnosed with Parkinson's disease was 12 years old.
Wow.
So, yes, it is mostly a disease of the elderly, but it's not only the disease of the elderly.
So for a 12-year-old to have this condition, is it genetic to some extent?
The younger forms tend to have a greater genetic disposition to them, but it can still be sporadic. But the younger the person, the more likely you are to find the genetic traits in them.
Okay. And Mr. Chikoto, when you look at where we are in treatment and, addressing treatment and care, rather, with Parkinson's, driving from your experience, what would you like to see in the future in terms of research and development?
Yeah, I would love to see a drive into researching to find out alternative therapies, alternative medications that are much cheaper, because in now part of the world, people find it difficult to make ends meet, to be able to buy and support themselves with such very expensive medications that are available currently. Mm-hmm. And if there's research into local plants or available products that can be used to produce very reasonably priced medication, I think that drive would be most welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's definitely understandably so. And Doctor,
can I please add?
Yes, please.
I think we all pray for the time when we are able to cure Parkinson's disease.
Mm-hmm.
We're extremely far from that at the current state of medicine as it is. But that is what all the efforts are being driven towards, finding the root, diagnosing it early, and being able to stop the progression. Because as it is right now, the medications that we have available, they do not stop progression, and they are not curative.
So
hopefully we will get to a point, I don't know when, but eventually to be able to cure Parkinson's disease and our other neurodegenerative diseases.
So then if they do not stop progression, what do?
They help cope with the symptoms of the disease. So it's a matter of quality of life. Your quality of life without medication is a lot more reduced than with the medication. However, unfortunately, no matter which medications you're on, where you are, the disease gradually still gets worse over time. So over time, you require more medication, you require different medications, you start to develop complications from the medications themselves. it is sometimes a very bleak prospect, but without the medications, it is a lot worse.
Okay. And Mr. Jokoto, what have you been able to do with over the years? Maybe have you seen some kind of progress, or what does maybe a positive outcome for you looks like with this condition, given what you have available to you now? What do you see as a positive outcome, given that there is Dr. Augustina talked about the fact that the treatment do not stop progression and they do not cure, but they help manage, they help with lifestyle. So what do you see as a good day in your everyday life living with this condition?
Hopefully expecting that this will be a discovery of a cure one day. And in the meantime, we'll be able to get the affordable medications in the system whereby people who are diagnosed can go in for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also expecting that there'll be a situation where there'll be so much awareness created so that people to know how to manage the condition, because what I know today, if I had known 15 years ago, I'm sure that my approach towards the therapy and the management of the condition would have been much better than what I did then.
Okay.
You know?
So how can people find out about the support group, or even if they want to reach you to be more educated?
Yeah, we meet once every month, the first Saturday of every month, at the headquarters of the Ghana Baptist Convention, and this has been a facility they are giving to us as a support, their contribution towards us as a group. And we have
okay,
health professionals who come to educate us and give us seminars and presentations that are very useful.
Okay. And quickly, Dr. Augustina, before we wrap, what is your message?
Well, first things, I wanted to commend Mr. Jokoto with the support group. It's an excellent venture, and I hope that it's a venture that will spread in all our sub-Saharan countries. The other thing that would be very helpful is to raise awareness. We try at every encounter to pass on some education, but we're lacking in our continent with having a spokesperson. So in Europe, in the Americas, there's often a celebrity that says, I'm a spokesperson for this disease, for that disease. We had Muhammad Ali for Parkinson's disease and so on.
Mm-hmm.
When we start to acknowledge that we have any kind of chronic problem, we can address it. And if we have a renowned person who acts as a spokesperson, it will be extremely helpful in increasing the awareness instead of trying to hide away our problems.
Okay, Dr. Augustina, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, Mr. Jokoto, for sharing your story with us. We appreciate it. Thanks to all of you for joining us today on this edition of Health Chat. And for more information, join us on facebook.com/VOA Health Chat. And let's keep the conversation going. I'm your host, Lynor Mudu, in Washington, with producer Bonsa Tufa and engineer Rob McQueen. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
This is VOA News. I'm Gene Randall.